Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Heart of the Banshee by Carolyn Elizabeth, narrated by Chelsea Stevens. Chapter 1. Julia Farrow slipped the fingerless leather gloves over her hands, snugging them past her wrists and tightening the laces across the back with one hand and her teeth. She'd gotten quite good at that part, and was more than a little grateful that with the gloves, her weapons training sessions with Jack Massey, quartermaster of the Banshee, no longer ended early due to her bleeding palms. She smiled to herself, recalling the unexpected trouble she and Branna ran into the day she had purchased them. While the danger had been real, and she never looked forward to Branna fighting, she was pleased to have made a new friend in the young street urchin Henry, who now followed her around every chance he got. The arrangement Branna had made with Josiah Coombs, a former agent of Captain Cyrus Jagger, to be her eyes and ears in and around Nassau, had been working out even better than she'd hoped. She really ought to make more of an effort to be less surprised. With Branna, the unexpected occurred far too frequently for it to even be considered unexpected. This was her life now, the one she had agreed to when she signed her name to the Banshee's articles and became the ship's newest officer. Well, she hadn't signed in blood, exactly, and Branna had been clear she could change her mind at any time, but she wanted to do this. She was determined, however foolishly, to share this life with Branna. She curled her fingers, stretching the leather. She would have thought her hands were tough enough from sailing, but the braided leather grip of her cutlass was an entirely new assault on her palms, to which she hadn't yet grown accustomed. The courtyard of Travers Trading Post at the port of Nassau was quiet this early. Genevieve Travers, owner and operator, had bustled around at dawn collecting glasses and emptying ash cans and left a mug of coffee for Julia, as was her custom this past week, while Julia used the space to train for her new position as purser aboard the Banshee. She drew her cutlass from the scabbard at her hip and began working through a series of warm-up exercises while waiting for Jack. She enjoyed the feel of her strengthening muscles, warming and loosening with the movements, which a week ago was so very foreign to her, and now something to which she looked forward.
"I was told I'd find you here."
Julia whirled at the deep, rumbly voice to find a large, dark-skinned man in the entryway, a short sword in each hand, and her heart rate picked up. Caught off guard again, but only for a moment, she breathed deeply and squared her shoulders.
"Are you here to fight me?"
He crossed the courtyard slowly, rotating the swords around as he approached.
"I'm afraid so."
"Afraid?" She sidestepped, keeping herself out of range and keeping a table between them, her lip twitching into a teasing smile.
"Of me?"
He barked a laugh.
"Best hope that wee blade of yours is as sharp as your tongue."
"You're about to find out, sir."
Julia kicked a chair, sending it sliding hard into his knees. He grunted, staggering enough at the contact that Julia had him on his heels as she rounded the table and sent a slashing cut to his neck. He parried, forced back another step into the table behind, catching him behind the knees, unbalancing him further, and allowing her another opening. Julia controlled her breathing like she'd practiced and worked everything she had learned in the past week, as well as a few improvised moves that just felt right. She couldn't rely on strength to beat opponents, and Jack had encouraged her to be creative. She stayed on the offensive, forcing him to use both blades to fend her off as she slashed and cut from across and below, making sure to never overcommit and leave herself open to counterattack. She knew he was toying with her. It had only been a week, and while she was a quick study, she had a lot to learn. He could have easily skewered her through the heart whenever he wanted, but he was putting her through her paces instead. She was willing to take whatever advantage he gave her. She couldn't keep it up, though. He was too big and too strong, and she was tiring quickly. She sent a flurry of cross-cuts to his midsection before darting away, putting another table between them and allowing herself a few moments to rest. She was breathing hard and sweating harder. So was he. He mopped across his bald head with the back of his left arm and sucked in a breath to speak.
I underestimated you. I thought this would be over much quicker.
Julia allowed herself a small smile of satisfaction. You can yield any time. He smiled apologetically.
I cannot miss. I have my orders.
What? Whose order? Bugger!
He closed the distance in two long strides, using his much greater height to rain chopping strikes down on her with both blades. Iron against iron clanged a staccato beat as all Julia could do was raise her blade to take the blows, absorbing each impact with the quickly exhausting muscles of her shoulders and back. She had to move. The next time their blades clashed, she twisted her hips and shoulders to the left, throwing his blade off and forcing him to step wide to keep his balance. She tucked and rolled between his blade legs, coming up behind him onto her feet and twisting around into a powerful crosscut to his back that he barely blocked, and not before her blade sliced his shirt open. His eyes went wide.
Bloody hell!
Julia sucked in a shocked breath at how close she came to severing his spine and hesitated. He took the opportunity to bring his right sword down sharply on her blade near the hilt, knocking it from her hand with a clatter, while his left thrust out, the point stopping mere inches from her throat, forcing her back against a table. Julia threw her hands behind her, groping for the table to keep from falling, and closed her eyes.
I yield.
Are you all right, miss?
Nat Hooper, the Banshee's bosun, moved his swords to one hand and gripped her shoulder. Julia cracked an eye and grinned. I had you, Nat.
Aye, miss,
he agreed, and helped her straighten off the table.
You may be right.
Maybe.
Julia dragged the back of her sleeve across her forehead to wipe sweat from her eyes. She collected her cutlass and sheathed it, then stuck her entire hand through the hole in the back of his shirt.
Quite impressive, Julia!
Genevieve called from nearby, where she'd apparently been watching. She had two large tankards of ale she held out to them.
I had no idea how far you've come. Brenna will be pleased.
Julia took the ale and guzzled some in a fashion that would have her mother turning over in her grave at her ill manners.
Speaking of our dear captain, did she send you?
Nat shrugged shyly.
Aye, miss. She wants to know if you could handle yourself against a much larger threat.
Does she now?
Julia's brows rose.
And what will you be telling her, Mr. Hooper?
That she needn't worry so much, miss.
Julia hid her smile behind another drink of ale.
Oi!
They all turned at the shout from the entryway to see Gus scowling, hands on hips.
We're waiting on you lot,
he barked, and hooked a thumb over his shoulder.
Tide's turning now. Captain's ready to go.
Julia's heart beat hard with a jolt of excitement. It was time. She was as prepared as she was going to get in the time they had. Her life, repaired and restored, just like the Banshee, started now.
Fair winds,
Genevieve called before going back to her work. A week of nonstop intense training with Jack, and Brenna sent Nat to test her. Julia was both annoyed with Brenna and pleased with herself. She knew she didn't really beat him. He could have ended that fight any time. Nevertheless, she held her own, and that was a tremendous accomplishment. She didn't need anyone to tell her that, but she'd be lying if she said she didn't hope Nat spoke well of her to Brenna. Her distracted thoughts led her to slow, dropping behind Nat and Gus as they wended their way down the busy dock toward the boat, waiting to take them out to the ship and get underway. The harbor was always busy at high tide, with ships both coming and going, loading and unloading. Merchants, sailors, dock workers, and errand boys crowded the limited space, dodging each other, and crates of cargo and supplies stacked haphazardly on every available flat surface. She jumped out of the way of a rushing young sailor and bumped into the back of a man who appeared to be urinating off the dock. He swore and staggered around to face her. Julia's face flamed with embarrassment, and she quickly looked away while he buttoned his stained breeches with one hand and swilled from a grimy bottle with the other.
"Watch where you're going," he growled,
wiping his face with the back of his arm. Julia's gaze flicked over him, and she grimaced as his rum-soaked breath and sour body odor washed over her. She knew him, and he was drunker and filthier than when she'd seen him a week ago, likely having neither washed nor stopped drinking since.
"Are you all right?" he swayed.
"Don't I look all right?"
She peered down at the end of the dock and could see the boat, Nat at the oars, bobbing in the water, and a very annoyed-looking Gus scanning the crowds for her.
"I'm in a bit of a hurry, Mr. Blythe, but I could take a few minutes to help."
"Don't need no help,"
he slurred, his eyes narrowing.
"And how the hell do you know my name?"
"We met a few days ago at the tavern. I'm Julia Fer-"
Right.
He wagged a greasy finger.
"I remember now. You're Kelly Slag."
Julia took a step back at the insult. While she understood the source of his anger toward Branna, she was no longer interested in helping him unless she was helping him off the edge of the dock with her boot in his arse. She turned with a wave of her hand.
"Carry on, then."
She yelped when his hand clamped hard around her right arm. She tried to pull away, and his grip tightened painfully.
"Let me go," she gasped, her pulse pounding with shock and a jolt of fear.
He jerked her back toward him and snarled in her ear.
"Kelly ain't who you think. She's a liar and coward. Don't let her fool you into believing otherwise."
Her fear quickly turned to anger at the insult to Branna, and she bent her arm and twisted sharply away from him, breaking his hold. She spun back, sending her elbow into his throat, just like Jack had showed her. Thomas Blythe gagged, clutching his neck, and staggered backward over a crate onto his arse. Julia made no move to help when he vomited all over himself.
"Well done, Julia,"
Gus said. Julia rubbed her arm, still feeling the press of his hand against her skin.
"How much did you see?"
"Enough."
He reached for her arm.
"Are you hurt?"
"I'm fine. Just a bruise. It's nothing."
Gus started them walking toward the end of the dock.
"Since we're heading out, Blythe gets a reprieve. But I assure you, Branna will take care of him when we..."
"No. It was a misunderstanding."
"Branna will not see it that way."
"Don't tell her."
He stopped.
"Julia, I have to tell."
"You don't."
Julia fixed him with her gaze.
"I'm fine. Thomas Blythe is..."
"Is what?"
She knew the haunted look in his eyes all too well. The difference was she had help to deal with her trauma. Family, friends, financial security, and bodies to bury. She knew what happened to her crew, and she could make peace with that. Without knowing what happened to the windswept, Thomas Blythe would continue to suffer as if it happened just yesterday. Julia cleared her throat, tears threatening.
"In a lot of pain. Pain I understand, and I don't want to add to."
Gus sighed heavily and nodded.
"This may come back around, Julia. I hope you're prepared if it does."
"I know. I'll handle it."
Chapter 2. 6 days earlier. Branna Kelly, captain of Nassau's mercenary ship Banshee, and Julia Farrow, the ship's newest officer, walked quietly, hand in hand, back to Travers Trading Post after their intimate night on the Banshee. Last night, Branna had offered Julia a place on her crew as the ship's new purser, and Julia, for better or worse, had accepted. Her gaze flicked to Julia, who seemed relaxed and happy. Brenna wanted their life to continue together, with Julia sailing with her as an officer on the Banshee, but she couldn't quite settle the part of her that felt like she was making a mistake, that this may very well end badly for them both. She shook off her sense of foreboding. All she could be was honest, tell Julia how she felt, and what may lie ahead for them. She had to trust that Julia would make the decision that was right for her. Genevieve and Marion Beeson, Jen's right hand, were at a table in the courtyard having breakfast when Julia and Brenna slunk back in, looking bed-tousled and happily exhausted. Brenna's long black hair was loose from its customary braid, and her shirt was buttoned wrong. Julia's still growing blonde waves needed untangling, and her skirt may have been on backward. Brenna gripped Julia's hand and pulled them to a stop. Genevieve eyed them both with a raised brow.
Well, you two look refreshed.
Brenna glanced at Julia, who was working hard to cover a laugh.
We had to just... Save your strength, Kelly. We know what you had just...
Mary said and popped a piece of fruit in her mouth.
We had some things to work out, Julia said, and she beamed at Brenna before looking at their friends.
Uh-huh, Mary mumbled around her food.
Speaking of working out, Kelly, are we training today?
No.
Brenna straightened and turned all business. She was still far weaker than she was willing to admit, following the blade she took to the gut at the hands of Virgil Bunt, may his soul rot. But exercise would have to wait today.
Julia and I have some things we need to take care of. Ship's business.
Genevieve smiled.
So, she's accepted your offer?
You knew? Julia asked, her eyes narrowing suspiciously at her friends. Mary snorted.
Oh, honey, everyone knew.
Brenna didn't share their mirth, still apprehensive about the conversation to come.
Jen, if you know where Gus is, would you please send him up to our room with a copy of the ship's articles and ask him to bring the item he's been holding on to for me?
Of course.
We'll be taking breakfast upstairs. Can you have something sent up for us?
Brenna added.
I'll take care of that now.
Thank you.
Brenna gave a soft tug on Julia's hand to lead her to the stairs.
Come on, I have some more to tell you about.
Brenna entered the room and immediately stripped out of her clothes and washed up, her mind already on all the things they had to go over, ticking off the points in her head that she needed to make. She wondered if Julia had agreed to this too hastily. Her face must have registered her unease.
What's wrong?
Julia murmured into her neck and slipped her arms around her waist from behind. Brenna didn't answer, but let herself relax into the embrace for a moment before straightening and turning out of Julia's grip at the knock on the door.
Get dressed. We'll talk over breakfast.
Julia didn't speak as the serving girls moved around the room while she quickly washed up and changed. She had clearly felt the shift in Brenna's mood, and she waited until they were alone again to begin the conversation.
Are you having second thoughts?
No, but you may be. Sit and eat something.
Brenna gestured to the table and waited for Julia to sit before she began again.
I know you've already agreed, but I want you to know that if at any time you change your mind, for any reason, it won't change anything between us.
I won't. I want to come with you.
Just wait and hear me out. Then I'll ask you again after you have all the information. I've already spoken with Genevieve and there's a place for you here at Travers. You'll be challenged and useful, and I think you'd really enjoy it.
Julia crossed her arms.
Are you trying to talk me out of this? I just want you to know what your options are.
I'll keep it in mind.
Julia, I'm not trying to make this difficult. There's just a lot I need for you to know.
I don't want you to feel misled, and in turn resentful if we do this.
Julia's expression softened. I'm listening.
Brenna closed her eyes briefly. Her 15-year path of vengeance for the murder of her parents ended in a bloody battle that claimed the lives of 7 of her crew, and countless others before that, and severely damaged her ship. As desired, it also led to the death of Captain Cyrus Jagger, his crew, and the sinking of his ship.
I wish I could say what you saw and experienced in the battle with the Serpent's Mistress was as bad as it ever gets, but I can't promise that. What we do is dangerous and uncertain all the time. It's also exciting and rewarding, and at times, mind-numbingly boring.
I understand.
And when we return to sea, I am the captain of the ship first, and your lover second.
Julia's eyes narrowed, and she opened her mouth to speak.
What I mean to say is, I have to make decisions every day to ensure we do good work and the crew and ship stay safe. You may not always like what I have to say or the orders I give, but I expect you will respect and follow them as do the other crew.
Julia frowned.
Why would you think I would do otherwise?
A smile tugged at the corner of Brenna's mouth.
Because I know you. You have a sharp mind, sharp temper, and a sharp tongue, and are not afraid to use any of them, especially when it comes to me. It's part of what I love so much about you. You challenge me constantly, but out there you cannot question me, at least not where others can hear. In private, if you want to lay into me about something, or for a suggestion or idea, then I want to hear about it. I also love your intuition, thoughtfulness, and creativity. It will be invaluable to me and the rest of the crew, and I regard your counsel like no other.
Julia nodded, seemingly mollified at Brenna's words.
I won't do anything to threaten or undermine your authority, Brenna.
Yes, you will. But I know it won't be intentional.
She reached across the table to take Julia's hand. This is uncharted water for me, too. And I'm not such a fool enough to think that this isn't going to take a lot of work, and we aren't going to make mistakes.
Julia gripped Brenna's hand.
Except if I make a mistake, someone could get hurt. I live with that fear every day. We all do. We just do the best we can and do better next time.
Before Julia could speak again, there was a knock at the door and Brenna rose.
That will be Gus.
Her first mate, Augustus Hawk, had been her savior, mentor, confidant, and friend for 15 years since he found her, the lone survivor of her parents' raided and destroyed merchant ship.
I brought what you asked.
Gus handed Brenna a rolled copy of the articles.
She hasn't changed her mind yet, has she?
Not yet, but I'm doing my best.
She turned back to see Julia finally picking at some food on her plate.
If she still wants to come after several hours of going over this drivel, then I'll know she's serious. Or crazy.
Then she'll fit right in.
He handed her a long leather case.
It's really done well, Brenna. I think I might be a little jealous.
Is it? I haven't seen it yet.
She'll love it. Well, if she's into that kind of thing.
All right. I must get back. I want senior officers at supper tonight. Mary and Jen, too. Also, ask Ollie or Oliver to join us for a drink, she added, referring to her former ship's boy, who had grown into a fine young man and valuable member of her crew practically overnight.
I'll see to it, Captain.
Brenna leaned the case against the wall by the door and rejoined Julia at the table.
How are you doing?
Julia smiled.
I'm still with you.
Okay. Brenna set the articles on the table. Before we get to that, there's something else.
You're making me nervous.
Brenna held her gaze.
You should be, I think. Your sailing skills and experience are expert. No one is questioning that. And I have no doubt that you are equally skilled in record-keeping and accounts.
But, as a member of my crew, you will be expected to defend your ship and crewmates in battle.
Julia winced.
I need to learn how to fight.
Yes, you do.
I don't know, Bran. I don't want this to scare you. And I'm not talking about turning you into a killer, as if that could ever happen. But I need to know you can protect yourself and others. Do you understand?
You'll teach me?
No. I have too much training of my own to do right now to get back into shape. I've asked Jack to teach you with a cutlass and basic hand-to-hand fighting skills.
Why Jack?
Because you and he share weaknesses and strengths. He's not big and, by extension, not as strong as many men we encounter. His advantage comes from his quickness, creativity, and being underestimated. And he is great at close-quarters fighting. He's the best for what you need to learn, and he can teach you fast.
Julia stood, moving from the table to the open balcony overlooking Nassau's bustling harbor. She needed a moment to quiet her chaotic thoughts. She replayed much of what Branna had told her, and Bran was right about everything. She would have to be careful to hold her tongue in front of the men. She may have been offered a position of authority with the crew, but Branna was the captain, and Julia needed to honor that at all cost, lest she damage Branna's relationship with her crew or their own relationship. She could do that. She was certainly willing to try. Learning to fight, though, made her stomach clench. She had fought for her life before, but she had never killed. She knew that's not what Branna expected of her, and she knew she would fight to protect Branna. She would kill to protect Branna, or any of her friends or family if necessary. The crew would be no different. She turned back to Branna and met her expectant gaze.
When do I start?
Branna studied her closely.
Are you sure, Julia?
Yes, my place is with you. I'm not letting you go either.
I was hoping you'd say that.
She got up from the table and retrieved the case by the door, setting it on the table in front of her.
I had something made for you.
Julia arched a brow in interest and opened the case. Her eyes went wide as she took in the gleaming iron blade of the cutlass. It shimmered as sunlight bounced off the metal of a slightly curved blade just 2 feet long and 3 inches wide. The grip was tightly braided leather around a smooth brass hilt with an elegantly bowed handguard. She reached out, her fingertips just brushing the weapon, its beauty in stark contrast to the damage she had seen something like it inflict. Next to it was a polished black leather scabbard and belt she assumed to wear around her waist.
Do you want to try it on? Branna asked.
No.
Julia jerked her hand away.
I mean, it's beautiful. It's a lot to take in. I just need a moment.
She didn't want to hurt Branna's feelings, but this was all happening so fast. She was afraid she was losing herself already.
It's all right, Julia, Branna said as if reading her mind. I don't want you to change, and I'm not trying to make you into something you're not. Your gentleness and kind heart, your love and compassion, are what make you the stunning woman I love, and I don't want you to ever lose sight of that, no matter what. I just need to know you can keep yourself safe. I won't always be able to, and I didn't think you would want that.
Was I wrong?
No, Julia agreed with a small smile.
You're not wrong.
Branna tucked a loose lock of hair behind Julia's ear.
I know this is a lot.
Do you want to take a break?
No, let's finish.
Brenna moved the case to the floor and they returned to their places at the table. She unrolled the articles and scanned the paper.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?